Cajun Mediterranean music.
Cajun Mediterranean music.
Yeah, just in case you were wondering.
I do think that's an oxymoron if you're looking for health food.
Cajun.
Yeah, if you're looking for the healthy aspect, I don't think there's anything healthy about Cajun. Delicious, it's, yes?
It's all in moderation.
That's right. There you go.
At 1-888-767-4348, that's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We go to Margaret and Chandler. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Yes,
ma'am.
I'd like to find out. Hold on. Let me tell
you. All right. Hang on just a second, darling. That's a little hard to hear for all of our listeners that may have had the radio on. We'll get right back to you. In the meantime, we were talking the Mediterranean diet. It's something that can be grown just about anywhere in the state of Arizona. And you had mentioned, Mr. Harper, an incredible fig recipe.
Oh, baby. I don't know how we discovered this. I love figs anyway. There's just, I like them fresh. I just pick them off the tree. I like them. I love them dry. We've been buying these little dried figs. You take those, put them on a plate, take some blue cheese, kind of, you can either crumble it or you can kind of stuff it down in the middle of the fig and then drizzle some honey over that. And then if you want, you could sprinkle some nuts or something over the top of that even. It'll stick with the honey. Talk about a great little appetizer or something. The Mediterranean thing, sometimes that's what we have for dinner. We'll have something like that, some fruits, cut up some, you know, cheese and salamis and meats, and that's dinner, you know, for two. You know, it's hard to cook for two, but stuff like that, it
and
lends itself great.
I want your recipe for fill your plate. And the reality of it is, too, a lot of the recipes that we have that are provided by our farmers and our ranchers and members of Arizona Farm Bureau align with that diet. So
we have honey producers here. We have figs. Figs do really well here. If you want a fruit tree for your yard that's just a slam dunk, figs are really easy to grow here. And, of course, nuts. We grow all kinds of nuts, pecans and pistachios. And that sort of thing here. So, that's just an all-Arizona appetizer right there.
We even joke because one of the other line items on the Mediterranean food pyramid is fish. And guess what? We have a couple of commercial fish farmers. So we cover it all.
Kind of fun to go catch your own fish.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's good.
And I'm broadcasting down from the studio in Tucson. And they apparently knew y'all were going to be talking about this. In the studio, I have 4 bottles of French vodka, red berry, peach and pineapple. Is that all part of the Mediterranean diet? It is from France.
It's an array of fruits, and there's plenty of fruits and vegetables.
You can work an angle on anything.
You can work an angle on it.
There's no stipulation on the ferment time of these products.
There you go.
All right, that's Rosie joining us from Tucson, where he's going to be joining us in the Home Improvement Hour talking territorial-style homes with Tucson expert John Shimon of the Adobe King. But before we get there, we are still in the guard hour. You can join us at 1-888-767-4348. Let's see if we can bring Margaret back into the conversation. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. I'd like to find out what the most effective weed killer, because I have weeds popping up right all over my front yard. Too much to even pull.
Okay. You're in, you have a gravel?
Chandler.
You have a gravel landscape, or are these weeds coming up in your grass?
Gravel.
Okay. Well, Rosie's most effective weed killer would be a flamethrower. He would tell you to, you know, get a backpack torch and go around and burn all your weeds up. You can use a long-handled weeder, what we call a hula hoe, and just go out there and shuffle them, scuffle them off while they're young. Or in the case, if you just have gravel and you don't have to worry about being selective about what kind of weeds you're killing, as we mentioned before, there's, you know, a herbicide that contains glyphosate, and you can, you know, either with a little spot sprayer or a pump-up type sprayer, you just go around and spray that on each individual weed. The key with any of the removal processes is do them while it's young, and that soil right now is still fairly moist, so if you were going to hoe them, or rake them up. It would be pretty easy to do while the soil's still moist. But always control weeds before they get too big. Number one, they won't go to seed, and you'll have another generation of them. Number two, if you kill and spray a very small weed, it just kind of dries up and goes away. You don't have to worry about pulling it up and disposing it after the fact.
And pre-emerge. Well, it's late for what's growing now.
But it's never too late to pre-emerge, because it will always work from the point of its incorporation into the soil forward for 3 to 6 months. So this is a very good time to be doing that as well.
Kim writes,
and you don't need a backpack.
Oh, okay.
Flamethrower.
No?
No, you can go to weeddragon.com and buy a handheld, very small one, works very nice.
So for any size person.
Yeah, it's $39. I gave one to my neighbor when they moved into their new home, and they said, I've never had a flamethrower given to me as a home coming present. I said, well, you never lived next door to a Cajun.
That wasn't a hint about their landscaping, was it?
She was being pestered by an ash tree from another neighbor that was falling leaves and stuff. A silk oak that was delivering debris over the wall in her backyard. And I told her, this will take care of it.
All right.
Kim writes in from Chandler as well, and she got hit hard by the frost. Now, her big question is it too early to trim? Or, I mean, it's very deceitful. We're still only in February in 85-degree weather, and a lot of the state.
If you look at the long-term forecast, which goes now through the 15th, through next weekend, and we always kind of pick Valentine's Day, 14th, 15th of February, as at least for our part of the state, as being kind of the safe or relatively safe time. We don't have any what looks like cold weather events in the next week or 10 days. So I'll tell you how the best way to know is go look at the plants. And I've noticed the bougainvilleas that froze, the yellow bells, all those that got frozen, they're all starting to bud out and leaf out with new growth. Once they start doing that, it's a pretty good indication that it's probably about time to start pruning back. So I would say, even though it's a week earlier than we would suggest with the forecast coming up over the next week, I think it's probably okay to go ahead and start.
Very good. And those bougainvilleas are very aggressive growers. So don't be afraid to over-prune those, because they...
You'll be doing them a favor. They'll actually look prettier than they've ever looked if you'll cut them way back.
I used to do that. I had one that was on the east side, so it was protected from the sun for a lot of the day, and it was the colder part. It kind of had its own little microclimate. And even if it didn't freeze all the way to the ground, I would just cut it and by the time the summer was here, I mean, you just beautiful color.
Well, and that's a good tip. Even things that aren't necessarily frost sensitive, it's about time to start doing a really heavy pruning. And if you will prune heavily, at least reducing the plant size by 1/3 of its size, then you don't have to keep shearing it all summer to keep it in that shape. And that's where we get into trouble. And actually, these little round plants that you see in people's yards, folks, is not how they're intended to grow. And it's not good horticultural practice. And it's actually bad for the plant to do that. If you will prune them heavy now before spring flush out, you'll have a totally rejuvenated new plant with lush new growth. And then when it starts to bloom, you won't be shearing it and cutting all the blooms off of it all the time.
Who do you think the first person was that said, you know what, that bush would look really good trimmed like a globe?
I don't know.
Wow, that looks great. I'm going to do that in my yard.
I think part of the problem is the fact that it starts with planning the landscape and how many, and knowing how big the plant gets and how many should be planted. And they plant too many of them too close together. So to maintain the plant's identity and individuality, you start pruning them because they've grown together and they got too big for the space, or it was the wrong plant for the wrong space. So we start pruning them, and then the advent of power tools and gas-powered hedge trimmers and all of that, you know, you put something like that in the wrong hands, not to mention anybody, and look what you end up with.
And Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau. We've been talking through our Mediterranean diet and everything that that diet includes. Can be grown here, right here in the great state of Arizona. And you can get fillyourplate.org is a very helpful tool for homeowners to find local, shop local, and get local recipes. And we've been talking through Carmen Aza's
recipe.
Bisque barbecue leg of lamb.
Yes.
So we've got, and she is a lamb farmer.
She's sheep rancher.
Or you call it a lamb herder. Lamb
sheep
rancher.
Sheep herder.
Somebody that handles sheep and lambs. And right now there's a lot of little lambs, and it's so cute because it's a spring, and they're frolicking in the alfalfa fields.
Very good. Well, you can get that fillyourplate.org, and you have a direct link to it as well. When we get back, we've got callers in queue, and we'll get right to them.